We do praise the Lord for being here this morning. We praise the Lord for all of you being here this morning. And we're thankful for the opportunity once again to stand and to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not my philosophy or my beliefs, but what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. And that's what's important this morning. The title of the message the Lord has given me is The Guilt of Sin. And if you were to look up the word guilt in the dictionary, the description of guilt is the state of being ashamed of an offense. So something that you've done that you know is wrong, right? And you feel badly about it. I will tell you that guilt and shame is probably one of the biggest tactics or the biggest tools that the devil has in his bag. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to feel guilt. He wants you to feel shame. Because most of the time when you feel guilt or you feel shame, you won't talk to anybody about it, and you sure ain't going to talk to the Lord about it. You're going to try to hide it. You're going to try to harbor it. You're going to try to keep it in. But we want to share with you some things this morning that the Lord has taught us this week and helped us to understand about the guilt of sin. When you have sin in your life, what do you need to do? What should you do? And what's the best way to keep it out of your life? To get it out of your life first, and then to keep it out of your life, right? So turn with us, if you would, to John, the 8th chapter. Now, as I go through this message this morning, you're going to see that there are some things that we do to try to offset that guilt. To try to keep from feeling that guilt, or to try to keep from feeling that shame. And this first scripture will describe the first part of that. So John, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Very familiar scripture. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, but being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thou thine accusers? Have no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You may be seated this morning. So I want to focus a little bit this morning, first off, on verse number 6 there. It says, This they said, tempting him, and they might have accused him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Like he wasn't even paying no attention to them. Now, they're trying to trick him, trying to set him up, as many of us will do. We try to trick people. We try to set them up and try to, you know, we'll ask questions to try to get what we want out of them. And we'll even do that to ministers from time to time. You know, we'll go to a minister and try to get him to go along with what we're doing and just justify what we're doing and say, it's all right. And when we don't get the answer that we want or the result that we want, we get offended, we get shook up, and we get angry with them. So we'll go and we'll find somebody else that will tell us what we want to hear. Is that not what we do? Because we want to feed the flesh. We want to feed our ourselves. But the thing is that we need to feed our soul. In verse 9 there it says, And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. I I will tell you this morning that you can say all that you want to, that I didn't realize that that was sin. I didn't know that that was sin. I didn't understand that that was sin. But your soul knows to do good. Your soul knows the difference between good and evil. And it will always warn you. The Bible even instructs us that there is no temptation that will befall you that is not first made a way of escape. A way out. So your soul will warn you when you're getting close to committing a sin or when you're getting close to sin and you're being in places that you shouldn't be. It didn't say there that Jesus stood up and convicted them and told them, said, "Well, you've committed this sin, and I noticed that you committed that sin." He let their conscience convict them. He just pointed it out to them. He said, "Hey, you know what? You're a bunch of good men. You're the scribes and the Pharisees of the town. You're the big shots. You're the biblical scholars of the town. Y'all know what's right. Y'all know what's wrong. Obviously, y'all know what the law is. You just brought it to me. So I tell you what, whichever one among you doesn't have any sin, y'all cast the first stone." So what do we see here? We see the first trait of somebody who has the guilt of sin. You know what that first trait is? Point your finger at somebody else. Right? Get everybody off of you. Get them to quit looking at you. See, that's the trait of a bully, too. Right? Get everybody focused on them because I don't want them looking at me and seeing what I'm doing. But that's the first trait of somebody who has the guilt of sin in their life or has a guilty conscience. Is they want to point the blame at somebody else and say, "They did it." Focus on them. Don't focus on me. Look what they did. Can you believe that they did that? And you don't even point them out to Jesus in your prayers. Can you believe that Pastor Rob did this? I'm going to use me for an example because I don't want to hurt anybody else's feelings. Can you believe he did this? Supposed to be a pastor. Right? Hey, I've heard them say it. You call yourself a pastor. You call yourself a preacher. And look what you did. You know what I am? I'm a man. I'm subject to make mistakes. But the key is that I don't want to harbor those mistakes. When I realize that I've made a mistake, I want to take that to the Lord. Right? That is the key. The key is not to try to hide it, not to try to keep it in, not to try to keep everybody else from realizing what you've done. So that's the biggest thing with the church today. That's where we've lost our focus. We think that we're supposed to... We're supposed to show everybody out there, and when I say out there, I mean the lost. We're supposed to show the lost that we're these perfect people who don't mess up, who don't make mistakes. But what they need to see is that there are people that are Christians that do make mistakes, but they know how to resolve those mistakes. They need to see that there is a way out of their sin. They need to see that they can go to the Lord and the Lord will forgive them. That's what they need to see. They don't need to see a bunch of perfect people because, to be quite honest with you, none of us are perfect. As hard as we try to be, we're still not perfect because we're not there yet. But we should strive, right? I'm not giving you a cloak this morning to sin. And I'm not giving you a cloak this morning to mess up because we know that our opportunity and our greatest responsibility is to do our very level best for Christ. To live like Him, to walk like Him, to act like Him, to be like Him. But we can't do that with sin in our lives. Because He can't look upon sin. Alright? So when we realize that we've made a mistake, when we realize that we've messed up, we take it to Him. Now you will suffer for your sin. There is a penalty for your sin. But you don't have to worry about going to hell. You're still going to pay the consequences. David paid the consequences for his sins. He didn't get off scot-free, church. There were consequences for the things that he did. But you can still get redemption of your sin. You can get those things cast out. There's a new song out. I think it's by Casting Crowns. It was the first time it was played on the radio the other day. It said, "How far is the east from the west?" And in the song, one part of the song, it says, "As far as it was from his left hand to his right." Church, he hung on a cross for us to have the opportunity to not have to live with the guilt of sin. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's not his will, church, that we should have to walk in guilt and in shame, but that we could have the freedom of knowing that he has forgiven us of our sins, that he has redeemed us, and that the precious blood of Jesus Christ lives within us. And we are to portray that to a lost and dying world. Now, we can't portray that if we're busy hiding and harboring our own sins, our own transgressions, our own iniquities. Let's turn, if you would, to Acts, the second chapter. Verses 37 through 40. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation." In other words, remove yourself from this ungodly generation. And I got to tell you, church, there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible tells us that. But the ungodly generation that was in that time, and the ungodly generation that was 500 years after that, and the ungodly generation that was in some of the elders here this morning's time, and the ungodly generation that was in the time when I was growing up, and the ungodly generation that is in the time that we are in now, has increasingly gotten worse. If you can't see that, you're fooling yourself or you're blind. It's increasingly gotten worse. And it just continues to get worse. Now, I'm not preaching doom and gloom this morning. I am preaching that there is hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. That hope is not in me. It's not in this church. It's not in the church down the road or the pastor down the road or the pastor that's on TV or the pastor that's on the radio or anybody else. That hope lies in Jesus Christ. That is our only hope. That is our only way out of sin. Do we realize that this morning? Hopefully we do. He is our only way out of sin. He is our very way. It says here, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" See, there's a key there. First of all, they were pricked in their heart. They realized that they weren't living the way that they needed to be living. They realized that there was sin in their life. Now, the next question was, what should we do? How do we get out of this state? There's another key of the devil. That shame comes in and keeps you from asking that question. When you've got the guilt of sin in your life, you won't ask anybody, what can I do to get out of this sin? How can I get out of this? Your whole goal is to convince everybody that you're all right. Your whole goal in life is to convince everybody that there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine. I don't have anything going on in my life. But what we need to realize is that we're here to what? To bear ye one another's right. And to help each other. And to instruct each other. That's one of the hardest things for me to do as a man. as a preacher, and especially as a pastor. Because as a man, we have a certain amount of pride. Come on, guys. Where's the posse at this morning, right? We have a certain amount of pride that we can't let anybody know that we have any weaknesses, that we have any failures, that we have any faults, right? As men, that's our first instinct. It's a natural instinct. It's part of our developmental stage, right? But we have to realize that we're here to help one another. It's even harder for me, you know, as a father, and especially as a pastor, to admit that I make mistakes. But I have to admit when I make mistakes, right? I have to gain from your all's wisdom and knowledge. See, that's one of the, and we talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. That's one of the biggest problems with the church, or the older generation of the church, is that we think that we can't learn from people who are younger than us. We think that we can't gain any knowledge from somebody that doesn't have a position that is higher than us. And that's because we've been taught that most of our lives. But I want to tell you something this morning. I've learned things. As a pastor, I've learned things from the youth of this church. I've learned things from these little children. The example that they live and the things that, some of the things that they say and some of the things that they do. See, we think that they're not paying any attention in church. But they are paying attention. How many of you remember the time that I was preaching the message called What's in Your Mouth? You know, the example of what's in your wallet, you know, the commercial that they have on. And Ian was just a little bitty guy, and he had his pacifier in his mouth. And I said, so what's in your mouth? And Ian blurts out, my binky. Right? Nobody thought that he was listening. He's laying there. He's focused on his binky. Right? Nobody thought that he was paying any attention. But I'll tell you, these children are paying attention. And they can tell you some things, and you can learn some things. And the Bible instructs us of that, does it not? It says, suffer not the little children that come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Right? So, we have to realize that we can help one another. We're not here to run each other down. If you were to come to me, and I'm not telling you, you just have to come to me and bear your sins to me, because, you know, that's not what I'm saying. But if you need help or you need instruction on something, then by all means, come to me or come to one of the deacons or come to our assistant pastor and get that help that you need. But most of all, listen to me this morning. This is the most critical part of all. Take it to the Lord. Take it to Him. Because He's the only one that can forgive you. I can give you help. I can give you wisdom. I can share knowledge to you. I can give you sound instruction, biblical instruction. But I can't save you. I can't forgive you of your sins. It's an impossibility. I can't do that. Because I didn't shed my blood on a cross for you. But Jesus did. That's good news this morning, church. The excitement of knowing that He is able. Church, I don't care what your sin is. I know that you think your sin was worse than everybody else's. Because I fight that battle every day. And I'll guarantee you. I will guarantee you that there's nobody in here that's done any worse than I have. But you know what? He didn't look at that. Here's what He looked at. He looked at, I needed saving. He saw that I needed His grace. Yes, He knew every sin that I'd ever committed. From the time that I was born to the time that I was reborn. He knew them all. I wasn't hiding them from Him. And you can't hide them from Him. He knew every one of them. And they were stinking His nostril. But He said, I can change him. And I'm glad that He did. Praise God. I'm glad that He changed me. I'm glad that He realized that He could change me. I'm glad that He took the time. I'm glad that He didn't say, like a lot of other people said, there's no hope for him. That Robbie Rogers ain't no good for nothing. And I'd have been the first one to tell you. Because I wasn't. But now there's a different blood that flows through my bones. I had a transfusion that day, praise God. Got rid of all the bad blood and put in all good blood. Praise God. He's merciful and He wants to save souls. He hasn't given up. He hasn't quit saving souls. He hasn't quit forgiving people that are in sin. Right? He's there for us. He said there, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Church, there is nobody that is beyond saving. That scripture right there sums it up. If we have children that are lost, they're not without hope. If we have grandchildren that are lost, they are not without hope. If we have brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and mamas and daddies and whatever that are lost, they are not without hope. Jesus is still calling. That's all they have to do is answer the call. All right? When we realize that we've had sin in our life, there's a couple of things that we need to do. First of all, we need to quit pointing the finger at other people. You need to get the mold out of your own eyes before you can see the beam in the other person's eye. We need to quit pointing at everybody else and saying, they're doing this and they're doing that. Their sin's bigger than my sin. No, sin is sin. I'll preach that till the day I'm dead. Praise God, because sin is sin in the eyes of God. Yeah, we differentiate. Yeah, we say this sin's worse than this sin, and that sin's worse than that sin. But in God's eyes, it's all sin. It's all filthiness. It's all a stench to His nostrils. It doesn't matter how little or how big it is to us. It's all the same to Him. We need to quit covering up our sin, quit pointing at everybody else, and take responsibility and say, I am a sinner. I've got sin in my life. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you've been in church all your life. 60 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, a year, 6 months, 2 weeks. It doesn't matter. If you've got sin in your life, you've got to get the sin out of your life. Quit covering up. Quit hiding it. You ain't got to come to me and say, this is what I did. All you got to do is go to the altar. You ain't even got to tell Him what you did, because He already knows what you did. In Psalms 38, verses 1 through 10, when we get there, we're going to go to Psalms 32, verses 1 through 5, and that's where we'll close with. But in Psalms 38, verses 1 through 10, it said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over me, or over mine head, as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with the loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before Thee, and my groaning is not hid from Thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. David's not pointing fingers and saying, well, I've done it, God, because of this, or I've done it because of that. He said in here several times, because of my iniquities, because of my foolishness, because of my sin. He's taken responsibility for the things that He's done. He said there, I believe it was in verse 9, he says, Lord, all my desire is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. Church, you can't hide anything from God. I can't hide anything from God. He sees everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we act on. He already knows. There's nothing hid from Him. I'm going to tell you that some people will not come to church because of their guilt. They think that they can hide from it. They'll avoid the pastor's phone calls. They'll avoid the pastor's emails. You know, we're living in a society of help me out here. Technology. There's the word I'm looking for. And I work in the technology field. But we're living in the world of technology, man. We got all kinds of ways to contact people now. And they still try to hide from us. And we think that we can hide from God. We can't hide from God. Man, I tell you, when I was a kid, I was one of the best at hide-and-go-seek. I was good at it, man. I could find some good hiding places. There came a time in my life when God called. He said, ready or not, here I come. All right? And I wasn't ready. And I knew I wasn't ready. I knew that I couldn't hide no more. I knew, church, that I couldn't hide under that umbrella of it's the neighborhood that I grew up in. Everybody from here is like this. I couldn't hide under the umbrella of, well, Mom and Dad's always done it. I've got to be like this too. I couldn't hide under the umbrella of everybody else thinks it's okay. It must be okay. See, those were my excuses. Those were my cloaks. Those were the umbrellas that I hid under for 21 years of my life. But that day I realized I couldn't hide under those things no more. That day I realized that I need to take responsibility for my life. I need to take responsibility for my actions. But most of all, I need to take responsibility for my sin. And I need to ask God to forgive me. And that's what I did that day. And let me read to you in the 32nd chapter of Psalms, verses 1 through 5. So here's what happened. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. In verse 5 he says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. How precious are those words to know that it doesn't matter what you've done, that when you ask Him to forgive you, He will forgive your sin. You don't have to live in that guilt. You don't have to cry yourself to sleep at night. You don't have to try to hide it. You don't have to try to harbor it. What you need to do is when you realize that you have sin in your life, you realize that you have an advocate with the Father. You realize that I can take this sin to the foot of the cross. I can lay it there. And the Bible says that the Lord will take that sin and cast it from you as far as the east is from the west. Says that it would cast it into the depths of the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered against you again. Now, I want to tell you this morning. Yes, the devil will try to bring it back up to you. Yes, you will even try to bring it up back up to you. People around you may even try to bring it back up against you. But God does not remember it. It's been removed. It's been stricken out. It's gone. He won't remember that sin against you on the day of judgment. Ain't that good? Ain't that good to know that you can, that you don't have to wallow in your guilt and your shame, but that you can be released from that and set free this morning? That's good news. I'm glad that 20 years ago, on Valentine's Day, the day of love, He came into my life and forgave me of all my sin, of all my iniquity, and of all my unrighteousness. This morning, if you have sin in your life, if you are living with the guilt of sin, I want to encourage you, as we play a song this morning, to come. Come to the altar. Don't put it off. Don't try to hide it. Don't try to fool everybody. Quit trying to point your blame at everybody else and you point your finger at everybody else. And just take responsibility this morning and realize all I have to do is make it to that altar. Church, we're not going to point blame at you and try to figure out what you done wrong. If you need something from the Lord this morning, don't worry about anything else. Just worry about this one thing. I need to get to His feet. I need to get this off of me. This burden is too... David said it. He said, the burden was too great. It was above my head. It was too heavy for me. I couldn't take it anymore. And that's what we get. The burden becomes too great to bear. And it begins to tear us down just little by little by little until we're completely destroyed. Don't let it get to that point this morning. If you've got sin in your life, please, please come this morning. Make retribution with God. That's your morning message. May God bless you and keep you is our prayer.